Okay. So we are in Shmuel Aleph, we're up to Perek Ches, chapter 8. I just want to give one last thought on Perek Zion, chapter 7, which we learned last time. We kind of ran through the end. So the last two psukim, kind of important actually, just to mention this for our Perek, the last three psukim maybe, from Pasuk Tesavav, verse 15 of Perek Zion, it says, Vayishbot Shmuel as Yisrael kol yimei chayav, and Shmuel judged Israel all the days of his life, v'holach midei shana b'shana, and he would go each year, v'savav beisel, v'hagilgal, v'hamitzvah, and he would go around to the different places, it really sounds like, you know, an annual circuit, world tour of Israel, a tour of Israel, and he would judge Israel all of these places. And he would come back, he would return to Ramah, because that's where his home was. Visham Shafat is Israel, and there he judged Israel. And he built a Mizbeach there for Hashem. And so, on the word,
Uchivaso
harama kisham beiso. Okay. So he would come back to Ramah because sham beiso, because there was his house. Now there is a chazal that learns out, the Radak quotes it, that wherever he would go was his house. The Chol Makom Shayaholeich Beiso Imo, chazal say. Wherever he would go, his house was with him, meaning he wouldn't benefit from other people. And sham beiso, they learned to mean there was his house. Wherever he was his house. He traveled with his things. He didn't want to be a guest in anyone's house, not necessarily because he didn't trust their kashrus, but he didn't want to benefit from other people, which is a good midah in general, but especially for a judge to not have to benefit from anyone else, because it could lead to a feeling bribery of preference to someone. So he would make it a business not to derive benefit from any of the people from the towns that he visited.
Good question. He built him his bath.
Good question. So we are in the time between the Mishkan of Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan is now in Nod. And this is a time of Heter HaBamos. It's a time when you are allowed to build your own private altar. There is a question whether a Levi and a Kohen is actually allowed to bring a carbon on a private altar, or only a non-Kohen or Levi. There are those who say that he couldn't, and therefore they would learn that this he built the Mizbeach, but he had other people actually bring the carbonos. And I think some would understand that indeed they could bring the carbonos themselves. But it is a time when you're allowed to build a private bama, private Mizbeach. So I came across something, I think right after that last year, I think the day after or so, where I was looking up the Mishnah in Avos, and it had to do with this pasuk, and I was like, oh, that's what we're learning. So, but it's a very interesting thing. So the Mishnah in Avos, famous Mishnah, it says, Arba Midos Ba'adam. There are four Midos, four attributes, four types of people. And the first one is, Ha'omer Shali Shali, V'Shalach Shalach. One who says what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. The Mishnah seems to have two opinions as to how we judge that person, and what kind of person he is. First, the Mishnah says, Zu Midah Beinonis. That's the Midah of a Beinonis, of an average person. That's normal to say what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. No, I'm not saying what's yours is mine. I'm just saying mine is mine, what's yours is yours. And then the Mishnah says, V'yesh Omrim, and there are those who say, Zu Midah Stom. That's the midah, that's the attribute of Sodom, to, you know, because, and seemingly understanding that I say what's mine is mine, even when I have nothing to lose by letting you, you know, walk on my driveway or whatever it is. Say what's mine is mine, when it's zenana, the zelo chaser, when there's one person stands to benefit and the other person won't lose out, and you still say, you still say, what's mine is mine, that is midasim. So Rashi on the Mishnah has a very interesting comment, perplexing. Rashi says, Shalish shalish v'shalach shalach, right, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. She'eini rotze she'tehane mimeni, v'lo she'ehene mimcha. I don't want you to benefit from me, and I don't want to benefit from you. Zu mida beinanis, this is the mida of the average person, says Rashi, shekein matzino b'shmuel haramasi, because we found that mida by Shmuel. Shenemar bo utshuvaso haramah kisham beiso, as it says, and he would return to Ramah, because that's where his house was, which we just mentioned the Chazal, which meant that wherever he went, he brought his house with him, and he didn't benefit from other people. He had this mida of shalach shalach, what's yours is yours, and I don't want to benefit from you. And then it goes, Rashi just goes on, he says, and that's Beinonis, right? She'eino go tzaddik v'lo rasha, you're not a tzaddik, you're not a rasha if you say that. The yeshomrim zu midas tzom, and there are those who say that that's midas tzom, she'shmuel haramasi, afal pi shelo nene me'acherim, she'shmuel, even though he didn't benefit from others, but acherim nene mimenu, but he still let others benefit from him, he didn't say, you can't benefit from me. Aval amshe tzedom lo hayu acherim nene mishemahen, but the Anshei Sodom did not let anyone benefit from them, etc. So to say Shali Shali, that's the midah of Sodom. So I was like very perplexed by this Rashi, and I still am, because, you know, what's the Havam there? Right? What was the... why does Rashi even bring in Shmuel? The first opinion says it's midah beinanis, right? The first opinion says that that's the average. And then he says, like, Shmuel, right? But, and then there's the Yeshomer says, no, Shmuel wasn't like that, because Shmuel let others benefit from him. So then, what does the first opinion hold? What does the first opinion hold? How does the first opinion say that Shali Shali, the Shalach Shalach, is like Shmuel? What does the first opinion that says it's like says that it's a midah beinanis, like an average person not realize, right? And Rashi says like Shmuel, right? Does he not realize that Shmuel let others benefit from him, and that's not really Shmuel? It's in the Rashi. Rashi brings in Shmuel. Rashi says that's like Shmuel according to the first opinion. So I don't know if this completely fits, but I have a suggestion maybe of how to learn this Mishnah that it could fit in with Shmuel. It's a bit creative. And that is that there's different ways that a person could say Shali Shali v'shalach shalach. It depends how you say it, what's mine is mine and what's yours is yours. So if a person offers you something, and or the different context where you could say it. So it could be that was the need of Shmuel to say Shali Shali v'shalach shalach, but when would he say it? When he was visiting someone and they were trying to offer him something. So he would say, no, thank you. What's mine is mine. I have my own stuff, you know. What's yours is yours. You have your own stuff. But certainly when someone would come to visit him, or, you know, when someone would want something from him, then certainly he'd be open to giving it to them. But that was his way of that's a way to turn something down from someone. If you don't want to accept a gift or accept, you know, what it could potentially be a bribe or a match, you know, so you say, no, thank you. What's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. We're fine, you know. But certainly he would be willing to give when he had the opportunity. I don't know why I would call that midah beinanis. That sounds like a pretty strong midah, but...
One side is...
Right. And the Yesh Omrim.
Exactly.
That's how a context that someone might say these words. But then this is where it gets a little even more creative. You say the Yesh Omrim, and there are those who say, not like a second opinion, but there are those who say it, and it's Midas Dom. There are those who say those same words, Shali Shali V'Shalach Shalach, and when they say it, it's Midas Dom, because it depends who says it and how they say it. The Yesh Omrim Shali Shali V'Shalach Shalach, there are those who say, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and we're not, you know, you can't touch what's mine, what's yours, and I can't touch what's yours, and that is Midas Dom. Perhaps, maybe, it, I don't know if it fits perfectly into Rashi, but maybe that, you know, that could be the fact. Oh, okay, that's getting really creative. Okay, Perek Chet, chapter 8. Vayehi, Kashir Zaken Shemuel. And it was when Shmuel became elderly, Vayasem Esbanav Shoftim LeYisrael, and he placed, he made his children the Shoftim of Israel. Now it's interesting because being a Shofet, which maybe involves being a chieftain as well as being a judge, is not something that's normally inherited. Right, we don't see throughout. We learned all of Sefer Shoftim. I don't know if we have any examples there of someone inheriting the right to be the Shofet. Not only that, but we have a pasuk. We had by Gidon. He promised the people, "Lo emshal ani bachem, v'lo yimshal banai bachem." Hashem Yimshal Bachem. I won't rule over you, and my children won't rule over you. You know, Hashem will rule over you. But Gidon basically promised that he wasn't gonna, you know, be passing, making himself into a king. And the Abarbanel, in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, has a whole list of differences between a king and a shofet. What was the difference between a melech? What's the difference between a melech and a shofet? And among the differences that he lists is that malchus, that kingship, is hereditary. It's the pasuk in the Torah. It says, "Leman yarif yom amamachto hu banav b'karev kol haaretz." That the king should follow the laws of the king in order that he should extend his kingship, him and his children, on the land, implying that the kingship, you know, gets passed down from father to son, as it did in the line of King David. But the shoftim, you know, it was based on merit.
Yes. It says here the Yosheim of Banav Shoftim.
It says what? Sayasim, he placed them. Oh. Right, he appointed them.
Our scroll translates that as appointed.
Yeah.
So that implies it's not hereditary.
Okay, right. So I guess so that's part of the question. You're saying it wasn't automatic. Okay, yeah, that's valid. And right, that's what we're saying. It's not hereditary. So right, it may be a little nepotism that he appointed them. So the Yavit, Mishnah's Yavit. I'm not sure this is Rabbi Yaakov Emzinger or it's a different Yavit, but they quote here from a Sefer that even though he doesn't inherit, but a child has kadima, so he still has preference if he is ra'oi, if he's fit to take the position. And that's what we have by the Kohen Gadol. Also, he says that Chazal learn out, it says L'chahein tachas aviv Melamed shebeno kodem ucho adam, that the Kohen Gadol's son has precedent in becoming the next Kohen Gadol if, you know, if he's fit to be the Kohen Gadol.
But that didn't change the word. But it's not necessarily the child, the immediate child. It's the child of precedent, but it could move over to some other descendant. It might not be the immediate child, it could be another descendant of both original.
I think in general we assume a king would, that a son would inherit, and for a Kohen Gadol, it's not automatic, but if he's fit to take over, then he takes over. So this is what, this seems to be what was going on here, that Shmuel felt that his children were fit to take over as the shofet, and so he appointed them as the shofet. Now, what happened? Didn't work out so well. So Vayhi, Shem b'no Abachar Yoel, and the name of the elder son was Yoel, b'shem Mishneyu Aviyah, and the name of the second one was Aviyah, Shoftim b'Be'er Shava, and they were judging in Be'er Shava. So the Malbim points out that the intent, you know, Shmuel traveled around, right? From city to city, like we just described, and he made himself available, and the children of Shmuel, the sons of Shmuel, he appointed them, again, in order that they should take over. He was now older, he couldn't travel so much, and the intent was that they would do that. But what happened? Instead, you know, it's not easy to travel by horse and buggy when you're, you know, when you're 50, you know. Buggy died at 52.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
I think she's probably about 50 now.
Most likely travel on a donkey.
Right.
I guess
you didn't have a Cadillac with leather seats, you know, and a driver.
Well, no, was it Kohanim or Leviam? One of them had a retirement.
I think the Levitan. I don't know about Kohanim. Maybe also. So, but instead of the son traveling around, it says that they were shoftim be'er shava. First of all, Be'er Shava is on the border, so it's really far for some people to travel. And also, you know, they're both, why were they both there? They're both sitting in Be'er Shava. At least one should go to the other side of the country. So that it's a closer ride for some people to come and be judged, but no, they both went in Be'er Sheva, and this was a big tircha, very difficult on the people who had to travel in order to get advice and get judgment from them. Not only that, but the pasuk says v'lohochu vanav didrachav. And his sons did not go in his ways. Vayitu acharei habatza, and they veered after batza, which means like money, coin. Vayikhu shochad, and they took bribes. Vayatu mishpat, and they bent judgment. So, simple reading, as we read it, that they liked money. They took bribes, and they bent the judgment. The Radak says that this. What does it mean? They leaned after money. It was like a distraction to them. It occupied brain space for them. The Radak says the way he says it is. Kolomar meaning to say shayelavavam nota lemamon. Their hearts were bent towards money, and it troubled them. It occupied them. The Ein Tov Leo Shoftim Anashim Ka'ela Elasone Batsa. It's not good to have judges of that type. Rather, they should be Sone Batsa, says in the Torah. They should hate money. They should hate. So, and they should be happy with their chelek.
Was this before the requirement that judges be rich? Was it then a requirement?
That's the point that does. It has to be rich just so they don't have that.
Yeah, it's, I think generally a good thing, but I don't know how. I don't know if it's really a requirement, but maybe a good idea. Although I don't know, I have to see what that is exactly. The Malbim, again, learning in the Pashup Shat, learns that this was like a slippery slope. That first they took, they developed this desire for money. Then Vayikhu Shochad, then they started to accept bribes. But maybe with the, they accepted payments, not necessarily with the agreement to actually, change the judgment. And then Vayatam Mishpat Torindig, it came to the point where they did bend the judgment. So that's all according to the simple reading. Now Chazal, the Gemara, has a different reading of this. Again, taking it out of the Pshat, which is common for people of this stature. So, and it's a hard thing to understand sometimes why the Gemara wants to do this always, but there's some level of assumption that the children of Shmuel wouldn't stoop this low. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Amr Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amr Yonasan, Toha Omer b'nei Shmuel chatu, eino ela toha. Anyone who says that the children of Shmuel actually sinned is making a mistake. Shenemar, as it says, don't be a mistake maker. Vayhi kasher zaking Shmuel, v'holchu v'ana b'drachav, it says, and it was when Shmuel got older, and his children didn't go in his ways, which is a very high level of expectation to match up exactly to Shmuel's level. B'drachav hu d'loholchu, they didn't go in his ways. They didn't live up to the expectation of their father Shmuel, v'michtanam yilochatu, but they didn't sin. Ela mani mekayim vayitu achrei abasa. Saying, how do you explain when it says and they sent after money?
They perverted justice.
Shayashmuel atzadik shaloh asu kemasei aviyem. They didn't do the same. They didn't act in the same manner as their father. Shayashmuel atzadik mechazer b'chol mekomos Yisrael. Because Shmuel, the righteous one, he would go to all the places, v'dangosam v'areim, he would judge them in their city. As it says, we quote the pasuk, v'hem lo asu kein, and they didn't do that. Ela yashvu v'areim, they sat in their cities, v'leharbo sachar l'chazaneim l'sofreim. They wanted to fatten the pocket, the purses of their staff, basically, their chazanim, which means their shamashim, the people who were in charge of going to call the people in for judgment, and to their sofrim, their scribes, that who would write the shtaros, write the different documents. This was a way of fattening their purses. So by making them come from come here, this was a way that they got made their workers wealthy. So, how do you explain that? That is a good question, and I knew you were going to ask it.
Again, the primary point of the custom was two Jews off the streets in bed for the off the streets in bed at the time that
the rest of Marsha at home. Let me just see what else I have here.
They said, don't learn, stay off the streets.
There is had the commentary that they weren't maintaining school high standards. It wasn't a requirement that they should have said that they were. I think I'm explaining it away here.
Don't be seen, don't be heard. Later, Part of the night, the part of the night, when there was the most danger, the most danger of the most danger of getting assaulted.
Yeah, they don't steal.
No, but I think
that's a blood by that standard, that they were preferred to his high standard. The rest of it comes in to think they actually, another interpretation, that they actually did.
Yeah,
so here they have like a list of different commentaries who some say that they wasn't that they accepted favors at the time of the judgment, but there's a problem for a judge to accept favors in general because, you know, those people may subsequently come to them for judgment. It's tantamount to bribery, and whether it's legally prohibited or merely unseemly is the subject of dispute, they say. They also say that there's a medrash that relates that they would interrupt courtroom proceedings when they saw a passing caravan in order to engage in business. And the Kliyakar explains that when at work, judges may not allow themselves to be distracted by personal business concerns. Their behavior thus constituted a perversion of justice, although one that was inadvertent since it was due to their being distracted.
So they put the cell phone screen. As you know, further up there, where it says where Shmuel went to the judge, he didn't go to Beersheba, right? He was left out. And maybe now it makes sense why he said he came to Beersheba. It's too far for him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That makes sense.
But none of this explains who mispot.
Well, it could be inadvertently.
What?
Inadvertently, it could be. Meaning if they allow themselves to be distracted by these things. Yeah, so it's a general, we have this with the sons of Eli also. I don't have I haven't seen a good, haskafic explanation. We've discussed it in the Beis Medrash, why Chazal felt, it seems Chazal had some, angle on tzaddikim, that are described in the that make it into Tanakh, that there's a certain assumption, and I don't have the explanation for it why they take that approach, when the Navi is describing their actions, it uses much more extreme terms than, because they're held to higher standard, but that, not that they actually did as
right.
Exactly actively
so
what it seems that they did.
Fit in with this, that they were
right. Right. Some they did something last year, but it's tantamount to that because of their weapon. That's right.
Is the word basa, is that related to the word beta?
Yeah.
It's different shoresh. It may be related, but beta has a hay at the end, and basa has an ayin. But I'm sure, there's something next.
It means a bite, doesn't it?
A bite?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
It means a coin, I think, clearly.
Yeah.
I think we have. Okay. Maybe not. I'm not sure, actually. I'm probably not sure.
It definitely
says
a lot about that word.
Yeah, I think it means money, basically. Okay. Vayiskabzu kol ziknei Yisrael vayavoh el Shmuel haramasa. And all the elders of Israel gathered, and they came to Shmuel in Ramah. Vayomru elav, and they said to him, Hinei, atah zakanta. Behold, you have become elderly. Uvanecho lahochu bidrachecha. And your children have not gone in your ways. Atah now, so now we come to the major moment in Sefer Shmuel, where the people come to Shmuel and they say, appoint for us a king with Shafteinu Kechol Hagoyim, to judge us like all the nations. Those words are going to be important. So we're going to analyze this shortly. Vayera hadavar be'enei Shmuel. And this matter was very bad in the eyes of Shmuel. Kasher Amru, when they said, or that they said, Tino lanu melech l'shafteinu, give us a king to judge us. Vayisalel Shmuel el Hashem, and Shmuel davened to Hashem to provide him with guidance as to what to do about this. Vayomer Hashem el Shmuel, and Hashem said to Shmuel, Shema b'kol ha'am, listen to the voice of the nation, l'chol asher yomer o'elecha, all that they say to you, kilo oschama asu, because it's not you that they have disgraced or disgusted, kiosima asu, rejected, it's me that they've rejected, nibloch aleihem, from me, Hashem says, from me ruling on them, this is a crime against me and not against you. From all the deeds that they did, from the day that I took them out of Mitzrayim until this day, and they abandoned me, and they served other gods, now they are also doing this to you.
Whether or not we did it or not,
is
it still
here, right, again, Hashem just told him that it's to me, so I don't know why he's saying Gamlocha, so you'll have to see if we will explain that. Ve'ata, and now, Shema b'kolam, listen to their voice. Ach, however, ki ya'eit ta'id bahem, you should testify to them, v'gata lahem mishpat ha'melech, and tell them the mishpat ha'melech, the law that the king is going to institute, what it means to have a king, Asher Yimloch Aleihem, that he will rule over them. And then Shmuel is going to do that, and he's going to describe all the terrible things about having a king. He's going to make you slaves, he's going to do all this. We'll get to that. So the people ask for a king, and the matter, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Vav, it was very bad in the eyes of Shmuel. And it says, why, what was bad? It was when they said, "No longer melech l'shafteinu." And Hashem says to Shmuel, listen to them, they didn't do anything to you. This is an insult to me. So what was wrong with asking, why did they ask for a king? What was wrong with asking for a king? And how do we understand Shmuel's reaction and Hashem's reaction? What's going on here? So, first of all, the setting here, we have to understand, right, again, the pasuk describes partially that, Shmuel is getting old, he can't travel anymore. His sons aren't living up to his level. So they feel it's time for a new leader. It also happens to be, the Malbim says that at this time, the Plishtim have come back, they've risen up again. It's not just, they feel like they want a king, but the setting here, as the Malbim says it, right, the people in Pasuk says it, all the elders gathered because the Plishtim had gained strength and were now ruling over Israel again. And so the people say they want a king. So we're going to look at a couple of approaches as to what went wrong here. We'll talk about the Radak and we'll talk about the Malbim. So the Radak starts off and he says, first of all, the Gemara really points this out, that seemingly to appoint a king is a mitzvah. It says in Parsha Shoftim, you shall, when you come to the land, you shall appoint a king. And the Gemara describes there's three mitzvot that they were commanded to do when they enter the land. One was to appoint a king. One was to destroy the descendants of Amalek. And one was to build the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, why was this a problem that they asked for a king? The Gemara says, Lefisha bitar omes shalu oso, dilo l'shem mitzvah. I don't know if this is literally quoting the Gemara or the Radak, summarizing, but he says because the acid, like in a complaining manner, and not for the purpose of the mitzvah. Right? It's true it's a mitzvah. So if it's a mitzvah, so you should come and say, we have this mitzvah to appoint the king, we're ready, let's do the mitzvah. But they didn't say that. They said, you know, it's no good with you and with your son, so that's why we want a king.
On the face of it, when they said Kafala Gaim, weren't they violating laws of
so you were, we'll get to the words Kafala Gaim. What were you going to say?
Well, they couldn't have done it earlier, otherwise.
Right, it seems he was insulting anyways, but, right? So, and the Malbim will talk about that. The Radak goes on and he says, if they had said, give us a king who will judge us, you know, properly, so then, you know, it would be fine, you know, to judge us according to Torah and Emunah, that would be fine. Again, you know, the sons weren't doing a good job. Or if they had said, you know, your sons aren't doing a good job, Shmuel, can you, you know, just, you know, fire them, and you just remain, you know, we'll come to you. We'll come to you since you can't travel. But just, you know, get your sons out of the picture. So that would have been a good idea too. Or if they said, you know, at your advice, you know, let's appoint the king. You know, get him more involved. Don't just demand it from him. So that might have been acceptable. But when they said, you know, give us a king. It was like an order to him. You know, Sima Lanu Melech, appoint a king. You know, you're done. We're done with you. So that was bad. That was also a mitzvah of bitachon by Hashem. It was showing a lack of bitachon in Hashem. They felt they needed this king. And then the Malbim goes on. Sorry, the Radak goes on and he says what you said, that they said kichol hagayim. They said like all the nations. And I don't think, you know, the issue is like mamish, like that they're actually transgressing the sukosam lo seleichu, you shouldn't go in their ways. I don't know if that's the, but it's the concept that, you know, we don't do things just because it has very specific halachos of where that applies, you know. If you drive the same car as a Gentile, it's not the sukosam. So
specifically, they're saying, obviously, I know.
No, but there's a lot of
all 68 chants from Rabbi Zito, I understand. But specifically, they're asking Jews that, no, we want to be.
Right. I mean, he's in charge right now. He would be the logical person to go to, but right. So now we have to mention that when it says in the Torah the mitzvah to appoint a king, so what does it say? It says Tom Tosim Alecha Melech. That when you'll say, because when you'll say, appoint us a king like all the nations around us. So, it's, you know, that's what it says in the Torah, that's what they're supposed to say. So how can we fault them for saying, Kechol HaGoyim, like all the nations? That's what it says they're supposed to say. So the Ramban, Al HaTorah, and Parshas Shoftim, the Ramban says that possibly that's one of his suggestions is, right, in Parsha Shoftim it says, and you'll ask for a king, you'll say, Shom Tosim Alecha Melech, Kechol HaGoyim Asher Sivivosai, that you should appoint a king like all the nations Asher Sivivoseichem.
Yeah.
Sorry, it says, we should look this up to get exactly what it says. It actually says, it says, when you say, when you say, I'll appoint a king like all the nations around me, right, you should appoint a king that Hashem will choose. So, right, it doesn't say that you should say, but it does say that that's what you will say. Okay, but it's still, you might learn from there that it's acceptable, but no, the Ramban says that, right, that's like a nevuah. It's saying that's how you're going to ask But not that that's an acceptable way to act. Yeah, I mean, the Shofet's going to turn to it. He's the Navi. You know, he's not just the Shofet. He's the Navi. He's the prophet. He's going to be the one to speak to Hashem about this.
One more important point.
Right. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he says, they're not just, you know, their issue isn't with you, Shmuel. It's not that they want a new judge. You know, their problem isn't with the way that you judge. They don't just want a new judge. They were happy with you, but what they want is, you know, that's just the excuse that, you know, your sons aren't judging well, you're too old. Let's have a king, right? They're using the judge as an excuse. You know, the request for a judge as an excuse, as an opportunity to now ask for a king. And it's a lack of bitachon, Hashem is saying, it's a lack of bitachon in me, and it's me that they are disgracing. So that's how the Radak explains it. The issue was, they said Tichol Agoyim, like all the nations, and they didn't need it, because like the nations, because if they were following Hashem's ways, they'd be talking in Hashem, and they wouldn't need a king. Later in the parak, they're going to say it again, and they're going to say to fight our wars. So it's very clear that they're, you know, that there's a lack of bitachon in this, that they're not trusting in Hashem. The Malbim's going to work with similar ideas. I think I'm going to save that for next time. I just want to end off, because it's related to this week's parsha, by mentioning a fascinating Ramban in this week's parsha. So the Ramban says on the pasuk, right? So Yaakov in this week's parsha gives brachos to most of the Shvatim, and including Yehuda. And part of the bracha to the tribe of Yehuda is Lo Yasur Shevet Mi Yehuda, which means that the staff, the Shevet, will not stray from the tribe of Yehuda, meaning the staff of kingship will not stray from Yehuda. They will remain in the line of the descendants of Yehuda through, you know, beginning with David HaMelech, and then continuing on, the kingship is to remain in the line of Yehuda. This is the famous Ramban where he says that that's why the Chashmonaim died out and were killed out, because they were Kohanim and they took the kingship, and that was a transgression of this, you know, this mitzvah that it has to, that the kingship should only remain in the tribe of Yehuda. So within this piece, he says, so he says, first of all, it says Lo Yasur, it won't stray from Yehuda, implying that once it starts in Yehuda, it won't stray. But there could be, before it starts with Yehuda, there could be another tribe that rules, which is a hint, he says, to the idea that Shaul, who came from Binyamin, would rule first. That's going to be our first king that's appointed. Now, but once Yehuda starts, meaning from David HaMelech and on, then Lo Yasur Shevet Yehuda, it can't stray. So he says, so what's the deal anyways with Shaul? What's the story with this, you know, one king from Binyamin before we get to Yehuda? How does that fit in? Why not just start, if the kingship is supposed to be in Yehuda, to start with Yehuda? So he says, since the request for a king at this time was an abomination, it was improper in the eyes of Hashem. So Hashem didn't want to appoint a king from the Shevet that would be the lasting Shevet. It wasn't proper to request it now, and so they got like a half answer. They got a temporary king, a kingship in Shaul. He says that's hinted to in the pasuk in Hosea, where it says, I'll give you a king in my anger, and I'll take it in my anger, that it was given sort of begrudgingly, and therefore it was taken in anger, that Saul was killed, and the Malchus did not remain in his line. And he says, this was, what was the problem, says the Ramban? Because Shmuel was the Shofet and the Navi, and he was fighting the wars al Pi Hashem. He was saving them. And they shouldn't have asked during the days of Shmuel. They should have waited at least until after his death. Things were, right, the Malbim seems to say that the Christians were coming back, but the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Ramban says that things were going well with Shmuel, and he was the leader, and he had Nevuah, and things were working l'malam min ateva, and, you know, outside of nature, Hashem, everything was good. So why are they asking for a king?
But if they had awaited his death, then they would have had his rotten sons appoint a king. That would have been even worse.
Good question. Yeah, these are good questions. I'm not sure. So he says that's why they weren't given a Malchus El Kayama, a lasting kingship, at this moment, because the request for a king in the first place was improper. And that is... he actually goes on to say that it's possible, had Shaul not sinned in his own way, that he could have remained a king over his tribe or over some part of Israel, but not a permanent king over the whole Israel. But because, well, Yasha Shevet Yehuda, indeed, the king was meant to be from Yehuda, but because it was requested improperly, so that's why it was the first king of Israel would not be a lasting kingdom. Okay.
I forgot so bitterly.